from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report for Thursday, April 10th, 2014. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Also this half hour, we'll have cash grain analysis from Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing in Windsor, Illinois. And Mike Tenura of T-Storm Weather will give us the latest agricultural forecast. Have you called yet with your pledge of support for agriculture? Your gift now is worth an additional $12 to our ag service and a scholarship for an agricultural broadcaster at the University of Illinois. Make your pledge now at 217-244-9455. And Todd and I both thank you very much.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's go ahead and see how futures are settled today. That is a Thursday afternoon here in Champaign, Illinois. Hard red winter wheat, the May variety settlement there at 722 and a half, down 10 and three quarters. July at 729, down 11 and a quarter. Soft May wheat, May settled at 661 and a quarter, down 6 and three quarters. July 670, down 7 and a quarter. May corn settled at 501 and a quarter, down 1. July, 507 and a quarter, down 3 quarters. September, 507, down a quarter. December, at 505, down a half. May soybeans settled at 1482 and a quarter, down 13. July, 1465 and a half, down 12 and a half. November, at 1225 and a half, they were down 2. May soybean meal settled at 479.50, down 260. July, 468.60, down $3. May soybean oil settled at 40.50, down 41 cents. July, 42.68, down 44. April live cattle settled at 143.75, unchanged on the day. And April lean hog settled at 125.12 and a half, and they were up 10 cents on the day. And those are Thursday's settlements in Chicago.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Well, it is our spring pledge period, and it is Thursday. We're coming into the home stretch of this pledge period. And if you haven't made your contribution yet, now might be a good time to do so at 217-244-9455. Say you support agriculture alongside corporate director Les Schulte. Good afternoon, Les.
You almost forgot my name, Dave.
Well, I do that quite often, Les.
The number to call to make your pledge of support for WILL and agriculture is 217-244-9455 or online at willpledge.org. Make a pledge right now and mention agriculture. We've got a special match going on. We've got a group of businesses for every pledge made during the spring membership drive that mentions agriculture. This group of ag businesses will each donate a dollar to WILL, and they will each donate a dollar to the College of ACES Agricultural Communication Scholarship Fund here at the University of Illinois. We want to thank Bates Commodities, AgriGold Seeds, and Total Grain Marketing, just three of the people, businesses that are involved in this match grant fund. So why don't you be a partner in this great partnership we call Public Radio. And if you really appreciate the services, like the agricultural services you get from this radio station, make your pledge of support right now. The number is 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. We're about $300 away, Dave, from going over that $40,000 mark, $70,000 mark.
Let's make it 70.
Joining us now with a look at our futures market is Dan Zwicker, CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon, Dan.
Hi, Dave.
This morning we talked about being on pins and needles as we looked at price action into the end of the week after seeing spiked highs in both corn and soybeans off the USDA WASD report. To what degree are we still on pins and needles?
Well, before I answer that question, I want to plug WLL Radio, and I want to encourage all the listeners of mine, whether they're out in Illinois, Indiana, or listening to us on the Internet, to call in and contribute, because WLL Ag programming is the best in the country. You can get any opinion you want. You can get a variety of market analysts that look at the market in different angles, and you're not going to find anything like it. And we need to continue to support WLL Radio Ag programming to keep this thing going, because without it, I think the farmers, it would be a big loss not to have the type of information that WLL Ag programming provides to the agricultural community, not only in Illinois and Indiana, which is primarily our listening audience. However, I do pick it up in Kentucky when I'm in Kentucky. But the people that are on the Internet, to please send in their contribution and support this programming effort.
And you can do that right now. Well, don't do it right now. Do it after Dan finishes. 217-244-9455. We're about 9 phone calls away from reaching a 50 membership level, 50 people contributing. It would be lovely to be able to hit that number this afternoon yet. You can be the next one, 217-244-9455. What about that pins and needles question?
Well, I think today answered a lot. I think the key thing is that spike reversal down that we saw in corn. I was a little skeptical that it was that powerful to start with, because it was kind of generated as a surprise or a shock by the trade. So there was a lot of vacuum in that market, and it just jumped sharply higher, and we did have a lot of high volume, a lot of long liquidation, probably had some new selling go into the market, but we had a lot of short covering activity also. Open interest did actually increase a little bit, and now today, when you look at today's closes, they're just marginally lower. Actually, I think December corn might even close fractionally higher. The May corn is still weak because we still have the golden roll or the index fund rolling going on, and that also spilled on over into the May soybeans. But I think the fact that that big spike reversal down did not have any meaningful or measurable follow-through to the downside does imply that this market, after a few more days, may regain its bearings by the early part of next week, and then we'll maybe we'll take a run at that spike high and see how much resistance that spike high is really going to give us in the marketplace. The underlying trend is still solidly higher. All of your technicians and moving average people like myself that use those indicators to take positions in the market are all green light, but they have been for several weeks, and the bull has the money right now. It's just kind of like sitting at a poker table. Who has the most chips? And the bull has the chips at the moment, and if you've ever played against someone that's got all the chips, he can bully you around a lot, and I think the market bulls are still in control of this market, but they are taking a breather, and you're going to see that also in soybeans. Old crop soybeans are probably going to get hit the worst, at least in the short run here, because of all of this talk about China washing out of their purchases from South America, and we're hearing, you know, a lot of South American vessels coming on into the United States. But we got a long ways to go before we import 65 million bushels of soybeans. And even if we import 65 million bushels, we still need to see upwards of 55 million bushels rationed out of the balance sheet of soybeans, either through sales cancellations, or we need to bump up imports to 110 million bushels. So I still think the underlying fundamentals are still fairly strong in this market. The corn stocks are getting smaller as any stocks get smaller. And then for all those cats out there that are talking about El Nino and a favorable growing season and record yields, they were the same cats that were talking about 2 billion bushel plus carryover 5 months ago. So if everybody, I'm hopeful that everybody gets comfortable in this El Nino perfect weather pattern. And some of my weather sources tell me that it's not going to be that perfect, that we're going to have some interesting developments as we move through the growing season, and that we can keep blowing the shorts out like the January report did, the March report, and then yesterday's report. So, but we do got to keep the mentality of the trade on the bearish side, so we got buying power underneath the market as they buy their way out of the market on price strength.
So when the Texas Hold'em bulls begin to flex their muscles and push those chips all in into the middle after some days of consolidation, where could you see this market going to the upside?
Well, I still want to be somewhat conservative at the moment, and so until we see how the weather pattern develops, but I'm still in the 525-530 camp for May and December corn futures. I'm in the 15.25 on old crop futures, and maybe 12.50 on the November futures. But like I said, we've got to go through a scary full moon yet. As a rule, if a market breaks into a full moon, and I think the full moon might be Tuesday,
I think,
we would probably want to be a buyer of the market sometime middle part of next week.
So before we let you go, other factors in the market you're looking at, we often talk about the dollar at this time.
Yeah, I think that's the next shoe to fall in the favor of the bull. We have a head and shoulders top formation on the weekly chart. And if you notice, the last few days we've had the dollar in a tailspin because Janet Yellen, the Fed chairman, basically backed off of her hawkish stance. And now it's kind of understood that they're going to continue to print aggressively on the money front. And if we start closing down underneath 79 on the dollar index, I think we could go into a tailspin that would be scary. And in order for the Fed to stop that tailspin, they'd have to raise interest rates. And if they raise interest rates, then that would send the stock market in a tailspin. And it's already in a tailspin today. I see us down over 260 points. So I do think there is going to be some economic turbulence in here that could, raise everybody's hair straight up. It'll be interesting. It'll be fun. You just got to be ready to take advantage of the situation.
Thank you, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises, and he is in Mandeville, Louisiana. Say, have you dialed this number yet? 217-244-9455 with your support of agricultural programming here on this radio station. now would be a great time to call. You just heard from Dan, got all that great analysis from him. And as he suggested during his commentary, one of just 21 analysts that we have every week to bring you market information. If that's valuable to you, why don't you go to your phone and call right now with Schulte alongside.
Yeah, the number to call is 217-244-9455. Or if you'd rather make that pledge online, just go to willpledge.org. 21 analysts, that's terrific. I mean, that's amazing that we can get this pool of knowledge here for you every week. And they're giving you information you need to make good business decisions. If you appreciate that fact, let us know that with your call and your pledge of support. We're just $300 away from going over that $70,000 mark, and that would put us well over the halfway point towards this drive. We can make it with your help. Thanks to Melissa Black, who's made a pledge of support. Peter Rooney, thank you, Peter. Richard Furr, thanks, Rich. And Mr. and Mrs. Eugene Williams. These are all people who are supporting
Wonderful.
This station and appreciate this agricultural service.
217-244-9455, the number to call. And remember, your money does double duty because of fine business partners.
Yeah, we have businesses who have come together again to support our agricultural services, like the Andersons, Global Commodity Analytics, and Farm Credit of Illinois. Here's what they're going to do. Every time we get a pledge that mentions agriculture, each of these businesses, and there are six of them altogether, will add $1 each to the WILL fund, and they'll each add $1 to the College of ACES Agricultural Communication Scholarship Fund here at the University of Illinois. So you can see how this partnership works. Your pledge right now, we thank you very much for your pledge, but it also triggers some additional dollars to WILL and to the ACES Scholarship Fund. Call 217-244-9455 or online right now at willpledge.org.
In agricultural news, farmers and grain shippers in the upper Midwest are asking President Barack Obama to issue an executive order to railroads that would require them to devote more equipment to moving crops to market. Currently, some elevators are reporting a significant backlog in shipping grain out of the Dakotas and, just as importantly, and shipping fertilizer into the region ahead of spring corn planting. According to press reports, the problem is not that there are not enough hopper cars, but rather a shortage of locomotives to move those cars. A new bill would give the Food and Drug Administration authority over labeling genetically engineered foods and preempt state statutes on such labels. The Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act would establish a federal labeling standard for genetically engineered ingredients, commonly known as GMOs. It would give sole authority to the FDA to require mandatory labeling on such foods if they are ever found to be unsafe. More than 20 states have considered or are considering labeling requirements for foods that contain GE ingredients. The bill also would develop a definition of natural and would require companies that sell products claiming they do not contain GE products to prove that claim. Japan is considering lowering levies on U.S. beef imports to the high single digits from 38.5% as part of the Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations, marking progress on breaking the deadlock between the U.S. and Japan. But Washington is seeking an even steeper drop, and opposition may come from Australia as well. Under a recent deal with Australia, Japan will ratchet down its duties on frozen beef to 19.5% over 18 years and on chilled beef to 23.5% over 15 years. The U.S. Energy Information Administration projects that drivers will pay an average of $3.57 per gallon for regular gasoline this summer, close to last year's level. The EIA says this summer's monthly average gasoline price is expected to peak at $3.66 per gallon in May and then steadily decline to $3.46 a gallon in September. The EIA expects regular gasoline retail prices to average $3.45 in 2014 and $3.30 a gallon in 2015. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stewart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stewart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with Cash Grain Analysis is Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
I've noted that in several locations with the decline in the last day or so on the big board, that basis has done some firming on the especially in the interior.
Yeah, there's definitely some basis firming depending on where you're at, of course, especially on the corn market. We've seen a little bit of firming here and there. Now, we most of our country locations haven't went up a whole lot just yet, but, a couple of our locations that deliver mainly to the river have been able to get a little more aggressive.
So the question is that a function of the WASDE numbers or something else?
Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I mean, at this time of year, I think one thing you see, if areas are able to get guys out going in the field, obviously, there's not a whole lot of movement. And so who knows whether that is what it is or the WASDE numbers. I do think they were a little bit of a pleasant surprise for bulls, of course, but I don't think that it was a shocker by any means either.
Did corn move midweek on those numbers? Did you see additional hedging, new crop, additional sales, old crop?
Really didn't see a whole lot of corn moving, to be perfectly honest with you. Yesterday with the numbers, it was just as simply, it's been quiet. I mean, really quiet the last day or so for us, surprisingly so. And so, we've had a lot of guys maybe thinking, well, we might want to go ahead and get some sales on the books as far as the fall goes, because these are much better levels, as we were talking before we came on air, is what we were looking at maybe 8 or 10 weeks ago. I mean, it's a gift for most of these guys. And so I've seen a few guys maybe at least thinking a little bit more about fall sales. But as far as cash sales, guys are feeling pretty good about where they're at right now.
So if not this level, what level to start, I wonder?
All right. If you figure that out, Dave, go ahead and let me know.
What else are you keeping an eye on?
Well, I think right now guys are itching. Of course, we see a lot of equipment moving around. No one's in the field right around here. We're awful wet. But guys are itching to get going. If we miss this storm system, I think over the weekend, a lot of guys are going to be planting corn, I think, in the next week. Even with temperatures maybe not quite being what they would prefer, I think there'll be a fair amount of corn going to ground the next 10 days or so.
Well, I know that that you really take a lot of care in your planting. What is ground temperature over your way these days?
It's cold. We're still looking. A lot of guys are saying, close to the surface, mid-40s at the most. And so, it's definitely going to warm up here in the next couple of days. We're looking at a couple of warm days here Friday and Saturday, but then we have this front come through here, and early next week, we're looking at highs of 50 again. So it'd be pretty interesting to see how much of this, high-dollar seed guys are wanting to put out there with really cold soil temperatures, but I do think that there'll be a fair amount of guys planting.
Let's go ahead and get your prices today.
Okay. Cash corn, 484, and fall, 476. Cash beans, 1483, and fall, 1195.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing in Windsor, Illinois. And we will be back very shortly to talk a little bit more about an opportunity for you to help our radio station. Joining me alongside is our corporate support director, Les Schulte. And as you heard from Matt just a moment ago, farmers are raring to get in the field, turn that first piece of soil over, get those corn kernels put in the ground, smell that fresh green earth that you get when you're on the tractor and it's the first day you're planting and you remember how good it is. And reminds you of renewal.
It does, Dave. It's time now to renew your commitment to WILL along with getting ready for the spring planting. Right now we're asking you if you have been a friend of WILL before, if you have supported these services before, Renew that commitment to WILO with your pledge call at 217-244-9455 or online at willpledge.org, because it is your dollars that help make this service possible on this public radio station. We do want to thank Matt from Total Grain Marketing, along with the Andersons and Global Commodity Analytics, Farm Credit Illinois, Bates Commodities, AgriGold Seeds. That's the group of businesses that are here during this drive. And every pledge we receive that mentions agriculture, each of them are going to add a dollar to the WILL fund. Each of them are going to add a dollar to the College of Communications scholarship fund at ACES and at the U of I. So you can see this is a partnership, but it all starts with your call right now, this afternoon, at 217-244-9455.
And we accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express card. Getting down to the end of the week tomorrow, I'll be saying last chance Texaco for the regular week. So now is the time to go to your phones. And if you haven't done it yet and just been putting it off because you've been busy, it'll only take a moment. Do it now at 217-244-9455. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Mike Tenura of T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hello, Dave.
Of course, what everybody wants to know is the forecast for the next 2 weeks, so let's not hide the lead and get right to it. What do you see out there regarding precipitation and temperature?
Well, over the next several days, it will be fairly mild at times, and we don't have a whole lot in the way of rain. So that is great news for everybody who wants to plant. But the problem that we have begins on Sunday and then continues through Monday. We have a large storm system that moves across the plains and eventually across a large portion of the Corn Belt and the Delta. If you look at rainfall over the last 30 days, the southern half of Illinois, as well as most of Indiana and Ohio, and a few locations within Missouri and Louisiana, as well as Mississippi, have all been sharply wetter than usual. So if you have wet conditions and then a forecast for more rain, that usually leads to a sluggish planting pace, and that is what we think will happen. As we move from Sunday through Monday, 1 to 2 inches of rain appears fairly probable for much of the Corn Belt and Delta, and this includes a large swath of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, including those wettest areas. Beyond Sunday and Monday, we do have a few days of dry weather, though it does turn unseasonably cool with temperatures falling near to just below freezing across at least the northern half of the Corn Belt early next week.
When you look at it from a meteorological standpoint, what are some of the cues you're looking for that would change the pattern?
Well, the one thing we would like to see is the cool pattern that essentially began 5 months ago in November break. But if you look at what's actually happening, we continue to have cold air move across Canada and then through the Great Lakes and into the northeastern U.S. This is that pattern that kept the central U.S. unseasonably cold and snowy earlier in the winter. Now we're in April, so it can't be that cold because the climate warms. But hints of that pattern exist, and it seems like we're still in that same pattern. And as we go into the future, we don't really see it breaking through the next 1 to 2 weeks. So for that reason alone, it's real hard to start forecasting a dramatically drier and warmer pattern for a large part of the central U.S., even though as you look outside today and over the next few days, it will look fairly nice at times. But again, we're still stuck in that pattern. We really want to see that break.
All right. Turn your attention to South America, which in the last week or so has been really hammered by rain, haven't they?
Argentina in particular had 5 inches to 10 inches of rain at several key locations over just a 3 or 4 day period. To put that in perspective, their rainfall at this time of the year is fairly similar to what you would expect in the Corn Belt, with around 3.5 inches on average. So 5 inches to 10 inches of rain within 3 or 4 days is way too much, and has very likely brought all of their harvesting to a complete standstill for both corn and soybeans.
Thank you much, Mike.
You're welcome.
Mike Tenura of T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. And that is today's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey.